In 2006, I took some time off from work to travel to Argentina. I was 29 years old and involved in my fourth entrepreneurial startup, an online driver education program for teens that used only hybrid vehicles and wove environmental education into our curriculum. Earth-friendly innovations that set us apart from the competition. We were at a crucial moment in the business's development. Revenue was growing, and so were the demands on our small staff. But I had promised myself a vacation and wasn't going to back out. For years, I believed that it's critical for my soul to take a vacation, no matter how busy I am. Argentina was one of the countries my sister Paige and I had sprinted through in 2002 while we were competing on the CBS reality program, The Amazing Race. As fate would have it, after 31 days of racing around the world, we lost the $1 million prize by just 4 minutes. It's still one of the greatest disappointments of my life. When I returned to Argentina, my main mission was to lose myself in its culture. I spent my days learning the national dance, the tango, playing the national sport, polo, and of course, drinking the national wine, Malbec. I also got used to wearing the national shoe, the alpargata, a soft, casual canvas shoe worn by almost everyone in the country, from polo players to farmers to students. I saw this incredibly versatile shoe everywhere, in the cities, on the farms, and the nightclubs. An idea began to form in the back of my mind. Maybe the alpargata would have some market appeal in the United States. But as with many half-formed ideas that came to me, I tabled it for the moment. My time in Argentina was supposed to be about fun, not work. Toward the end of my trip, I met an American woman in a cafe who was volunteering with a small group of people on a shoe drive, a new concept to me. She explained that many kids lack shoes, even in relatively well-developed countries like Argentina, an absence that didn't just complicate every aspect of their lives, but also exposed them to a wide range of diseases. Her organization collected shoes from donors and gave them to kids in need, but ironically, the donations that supplied the organization were also its Achilles heel. Their complete dependence on donations meant that they had little control over their supply of shoes. And even when donations did come in sufficient quantities, they were often not in the correct sizes, which meant that many of the children were still left barefoot after the shoe drop-offs. It was heartbreaking. I spent a few days traveling from village to village, and a few more traveling on my own, witnessing the intense pockets of poverty just outside the bustling capital. It dramatically heightened my awareness. Yes, I knew somewhere in the back of my mind that poor children around the world often went barefoot. But now, for the first time, I saw the real effects of being shoeless. The blisters, the sores, the infections. All the result of the children not being able to protect their young feet from the ground. I wanted to do something about it, but what? My first thought was to start my own shoe-based charity. But instead of soliciting shoe donations, I would ask friends and family to donate money to buy the right type of shoes for these children on a regular basis. But of course, this arrangement would last only as long as I could find donors. I have a large family and lots of friends. But it wasn't hard to see that my personal contacts would dry up sooner or later. And then what? What would happen to the communities that had begun to rely on me for their new shoes? These kids needed more than occasional shoe donations from strangers. They needed a constant, reliable flow. Then I began to look for solutions in the world I already knew, business and entrepreneurship. I had spent the previous 10 years launching businesses that solved problems creatively, from delivering laundry to college students to starting an all-reality cable TV channel, to teaching teenagers driver education online. An idea hit me. Why not create a for-profit business to help provide shoes for these children? Why not come up with a solution that guaranteed a constant flow of shoes, rather than being dependent on kind people making donations? In other words, maybe the solution was in entrepreneurship, not charity. I felt excited and energized and shared those feelings with Alejo, my Argentinian polo teacher and new friend. I'm going to start a shoe company that makes a new kind of alpargata, and for every pair I sell, I'm going to give a pair of new shoes to a child in need. There will be no percentages and no formulas. It was a simple concept. Sell a pair of shoes today, give a pair of shoes tomorrow. Something about the idea felt so right, even though I had no experience or even connections in the shoe business. I did have one thing that came to me almost immediately, a name for my new company. I called it Tom's. I've been playing around with the phrase, shoes for a better tomorrow, which eventually became Tomorrow's Shoes, then Tom's. Now you know why my name is Blake, but my shoes are Tom's. It's not about a person, it's about a promise, a better tomorrow.